So the reading from Paul today follows directly from the one last week, which is which he said, there's neither Greek, barbarian, slave, free, male, female. Every religion on the earth has to do with freedom. Everyone. Buddhism, Islam, Judaism, Christianity. It's just that they define what we need to be freed from differently. And so Paul, who's been called the apostle of the heart set free, was very aware of that as a good Jew. But then it gets very complicated, I think. Because then you say, free from what? Because freedom is always double faced. It's always freedom from something in order to be free for something. I would love to have seen Paul's face when he wrote those brave words for freedom. Christ has made us free. If he walked into a normal situation here in London, Ontario, everybody would say, oh, I know what freedom is. Freedom is winning the lottery. If I win the lottery, then I'll be free, which means I can tell everybody else to bugger off and everybody will get out of my way and I can do whatever I want. Freedom, I think in North America, typically means freedom from encumberment by the presence of anybody else who might interfere with me. Then, of course, there is this quasi-religious understanding of freedom, which is freedom is a kind of interior sense. The heart set free. You know, it's a spiritual freedom. Well, that's rubbish, too. Lesser form of rubbish, but still rubbish. Because as those of you who've been reading that Eliot book know, that Paul was not talking about some kind of interior reality. He was talking about the real life of real people on this real earth in the real time and space in which he lived. Therefore, freedom meant some kind of political manifestation. Freedom is a political term. And Paul suggests the very meaning of freedom in his normal, very sophisticated way when he contrasts freedom of the Christian with slavery. To be free for Paul is, paradoxically, to be able to be a slave to the others. That, and only that, is the Pauline understanding of freedom. So in that light, then, we can begin to say, well, what keeps me from being free? My preoccupation with myself in all of its multiple, nonstop manifestations. My search for security, for safety, for being all right. My readiness to sacrifice everything and everybody to the end that I can secure my own existence economically, socially, academically, politically, whatever way. And so Paul is calling us, as he usually does, to the greatest kind of introspective moment where we begin to look as honestly, candidly as we can at our own lives, at what really inhibits me from being a slave to others? What really does? The obstacle is always is the same obstacle always as it is for every religion. It's egocentricity. But the egocentric person in the Jewish view is the person who is unavailable to others. Is the incapacity to really be a slave to the others. Jesus washing the disciples' feet. And so it's for each of us, I think, to take an inventory of those encumbrances in our life. The most searching and profound investigation of what really inhibits me. What really keeps me from being aware that I live on a planet in which 2/3 of the world go to bed hungry every night. where 35,000 kids die every day from measles or dysentery, diarrhea, meat. I think the biggest obstacle to freedom is our self-imposed blindness, in other words. If I look at the world four square, I cannot handle it. And I think that's true. We come back to something that the gospel says, for people, for human beings, this is impossible, but for God, it's not impossible. So to search for that freedom that comes from God, from living consciously of the reality of God, is to believe that my capacity to, again, as Paul would say, to bear the burdens of others will be realized.